received an automobile from his brother as a Christmas present. And on Christmas Eve, when Paul came out of the office, a young, roguish-looking kid walking around his shiny new car, admiring it. "Is that your car, mister?" the boy asked. Paul nodded. "My brother gave it to me for Christmas." The boy was astounded. "You mean your brother gave it to you and it didn't cost you nothing?" "Boy, I wish." And Paul knew what the boy was going to wish for. He was going to wish that he had a brother like that who would give him a nice new car. But the lad said something that jarred Paul all the way to his heels. "Boy, I wish I could be a brother like that." And Paul looked at the boy in astonishment, and then he impulsively responded, "Would you like to go for a ride in my new car?" "Oh, yes, I'd love that." After a short ride, the boy turned with his eyes aglow, and he said, "Mister, would you mind driving in front of my house?" Paul smiled a little. Again, he thought he knew what the lad wanted, to show his neighbors that he was riding in a big new automobile. But he was wrong again. "Will you stop at those two steps?" the boy asked. The boy ran up the steps, and in a little while, Paul heard him coming back, but moving quite slowly. The lad was carrying his younger, handicapped brother. The boy sat his brother down on the bottom step, then sort of squeezed up against him and pointed to the car. "There she is, buddy, just like I told you. His brother gave it to him for Christmas, and it didn't cost him a cent. And someday, I'm going to give you one just like it. Then you can see for yourself all the pretty things in the Christmas windows that I've been telling you all about." Paul got out of the car and lifted the younger child to the front seat. The shiny-eyed older brother climbed in beside the small child, and the three of them began a memorable holiday ride. Oh, what a sweet thing it is when siblings love each other. Behold, how good it is, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1. Oh, how important it is that we maintain healthy, loving relationships with our siblings. We've been talking about the 12 apostles and specifically about two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew and James and John, which brings up the issue of sibling relationships. Now, when we think of the word sibling, the next word that comes to mind is
rivalry.
And it's not surprising because the first siblings in history, Cain and Abel, were rivals, so much so that one killed the other. The first sibling rivalry resulted in the first murder. And I can imagine Eve saying, "If I can just keep these kids from killing each other when they're young, when they grow up, they're going to be great friends." Many of us as adults, we think about the relationships that we had growing up with our brothers and our sisters. And we hope for better for our kids. We want our kids to be good friends with each other. Some homeschool families have cited this as one of the key reasons that they chose homeschooling. They were afraid that dividing up the kids into grade levels, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, etc., in public or private school would put division between their kids. I'm not sure if there's truth in that or not. I have seen sibling rivalry amongst homeschool children. I have seen sibling rivalry amongst kids who go to school. Elsa and Anna have to be two of the most famous siblings in movie-making history. And oh, how different they are. One is cold and responsible. The other is warm and fun-loving. They have a disagreement that tears them apart. And at the end of the story, Anna saves Elsa's life. They come back together and they become the best of friends. Maybe you've had a similar experience with one of your siblings. The relationships between siblings is very important. One greeting card said, "Side by side or miles apart, sisters will always be connected by the heart." My goal this morning is twofold. Number one, I want to look at examples of siblings from the Bible. And number two, I want to talk about how we can have good relationships with our brothers and sisters. So first, siblings in the Bible, I already mentioned Cain and Abel. God accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And Cain was jealous of his brother, so he killed Abel. Then we have Isaac's two sons, Jacob and Esau. They were at odds with each other, even in the womb. They were as different as oil and water, as night and day. One was the manly hunter. The other stayed home with mama. Jacob deceived Esau, stole his birthright, and then Esau determined that he would kill Jacob. So Jacob ran for his life. Years later, the two brothers and their huge entourages, they meet up and Jacob is concerned that Esau is actually going to kill him. In Genesis 32:11, Jacob prays, "Oh God, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me." And I imagine it wasn't just that moment that Jacob feared Esau. I imagine he lived his whole life knowing that this day would come. So Jacob prays, "God, don't let him kill me." Then in Genesis 33, verse 4, we see God's answer to the prayer. It says, "Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Jacob and Esau weep because they are so happy to see each other again. Then there were Jacob's two wives, Rachel and Leah. Their father, Laban, set them up for disaster in their relationship by marrying them to the same man. They had to compete for their husband's love. Rachel had the love of her husband, and Leah had the babies. In Genesis chapter 30, Rachel says to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." It's quite ironic because the moment she does have children, she dies. But before that, Rachel asks an honest question of her sister. "Can I have some of your son's mandrakes?" Now, that's what we ate for breakfast this morning. I hope you had some mandrakes today. The mandrake was a root that was thought to help women have babies. Rachel wanted babies. But Leah didn't want Rachel to have babies because Leah thought, "I'm the one that has the babies. You're the one that gets the husband." In Genesis 30, verse 15, Leah responds, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And you hear the bitterness and the rivalry in Leah's response. "You stole my husband. Will you have my son's mandrakes as well?" Then we have Joseph and his brothers. So you see all these wonderful sibling relationships in the Bible. Joseph is the favorite. He gets the coat of many colors. He shares his dreams with his brothers about how they're all going to bow down to him. So the brothers hate Joseph so much that they want to kill him. But then they change their minds and decide to sell him as a slave instead. "Let's not kill him. Let's make some money off of him." Later, Joseph becomes the ruler in Egypt. and his siblings come begging to Egypt for food. Joseph gives them food and reveals to them that he is their brother, which scares the heck out of them. And they're afraid that he's going to hurt them. But instead, Joseph weeps because he is so happy to see his brothers. He invites them and all their families to come down to Egypt to live in the land of Goshen, in the best part of Egypt. Goshen was part of the Fertile Crescent, which makes sense because the Israelites were very fertile in Goshen. They had lots of babies. They went from being a family to being a nation there in Goshen. And it seems like there has been a complete restoration of the relationship between the brothers until Jacob dies. And when Jacob dies, the brothers are afraid that Joseph will use this as an opportunity to get back at them. But Joseph loves his brothers. He has forgiven them. And he's come to see all of this as part of God's good plan. In Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Next, there's Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam saves Moses as a baby. Aaron speaks for Moses before Pharaoh, and they seem like loving siblings until Numbers chapter 12, when Aaron and Miriam start speaking against Moses and trying to get the people to turn against their brother. Apparently, they didn't like taking orders from little brother. And actually, God curses Miriam because of this and gives her leprosy. And Moses has to plead and beg God to heal her. Later, Aaron decides to build a golden calf, which does not help things between him and his brother. Then we have David and his brothers. And if you remember, Samuel talks to Jesse, "Call your sons." And Samuel passes over all the brothers and says, "You got any more?" And Jesse's like, "Well, he got one. He's in the field. He's the little brother. He's out in the fields with the sheep. Get him." Samuel passes over all these brothers, and in front of them, he anoints their little brother David as the next king. One day, David takes food to his brothers, who are soldiers out at the battlefront. David hears Goliath defy the armies of God, and David gets upset. God's honor is on the line. And David's older brother takes this as an opportunity to insult David. 1 Samuel 17, 28, he says, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You just want to see the action, David." Sibling relationships can be challenging. Now, as I mentioned, there's two sets of brothers amongst the 12 apostles. We have Peter and Andrew and James and John. And I'm sure they had some sibling rivalry, but there's no hint of it in the scriptures. These brothers were close. They lived together. They worked together in their fishing business. Together, they chose to follow Jesus. When Andrew hears that Jesus is here, the Messiah is here, the first thing he does is goes to get his brother and bring him to Jesus. I'm sure these brothers loved each other deeply. James, the older brother of James and John, is never mentioned in Scripture without also mentioning his younger brother, John. Part of that was to distinguish him from the other James, but part of it was because they did pretty much everything together. And then there were those iconic sisters, Mary and Martha. One was task-oriented, one was people-oriented. Martha is the worker bee. She likes to get things done. Mary is the socializer. She just wants to sit at Jesus' feet. And Martha complains to Jesus in Luke 10:40, "Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. I'm doing all the work here, Jesus, and she's not helping. Oh, how many times have I heard my daughters say something like this to me? I'm cleaning up all the toys by myself, Daddy, and she's just playing. Up Journey says, sister is probably the most competitive relationship within the family. But once the sisters are grown, it becomes the strongest relationship. Jesus himself had siblings, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. He also had sisters. Jesus' siblings did not believe him. They did not follow him. They did not become his disciples until after the resurrection. And one day Jesus used them as an illustration in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside. So Jesus with the crowd is inside, family's outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. His point was that spiritual family is more important than physical family. Spiritual family is forever. It's why the body of Christ is so important. It's why it's so critical that you're here each Sunday if you can possibly make it. It's so important that we are building close relationships and not just coming together on Sundays, but connecting with each other throughout the week as well. Now, some of us have brothers and sisters who are not followers of Christ. Perhaps they want nothing to do with our Jesus, and it's a sad thing. And sometimes we find it extra difficult to be close to those brothers and sisters. Now, of course, we also have those two brothers in the story of the prodigal son. The good kid and the bad kid. The prodigal leaves his father's house to go waste his inheritance on sinful living. He ends up eating with the pigs while his older brother stays home and is responsible. Then this prodigal comes home. His father accepts him, but his brother does not. His brother will not. He refuses. The father welcomes the prodigal home, but his older brother won't even go to the party. The party to celebrate the return of his brother. Now, personally, I've lived that story. I am the older brother. I have a brother who was the black sheep of the family. And if I'm honest, I liked it that way. We all had a place in the family. I was the good kid. He was the bad kid. Becky was the princess. And Jacob was the baby. He was the fun one. And when my brother came to Christ, he started walking in the ways of the Lord. And I didn't know what to do about it. I felt like he was stealing my spot. Intellectually, I told myself, Joseph is serving the Lord. He's coming home like the prodigal son. This is a good thing. And I knew that was true, but there was still part of me that missed Joseph being the black sheep of the family. There's something about sibling relationships that reduces each of us to children. I remember years ago talking to my grandpa. When he was little, his older brother used to always beat him up. But time passed. And big brothers and sisters, you better pay attention because little brothers and sisters, they grow up someday. And sometimes they remember how you treated them when they were little. But my grandpa told me this story like it was yesterday. He said with pride, one day I decided, not anymore. And I punched him back. And I punched him hard. And I laid him out on the ground. And he never beat me up after that day. He never beat me up ever again. There's often this desire in younger siblings to conquer or to overcome their big brother or their big sister. Now I ask you, what's your family situation like? Maybe you're thinking of the family you grew up in. Maybe you're thinking of the family you're in now. Now kids, some of you have siblings. And sometimes your brother or your sister get on your nerves. Maybe you're the older sibling and you just want a break from your little sister. Maybe you're the younger sibling and you just want to be included. Why won't big sister play with me? Or maybe you're an only child and you don't get why these brothers and sisters can't get along. You wish you had a brother. You wish you had a sister, but you don't. Or maybe you're a parent and you want so badly for your kids to get along. Your little kids or your grown-up kids. You want them to be friends. And you think, boy, I hope my kids get along better than I got along with my brother or my sister. You want your kids united. And I think that's a godly desire. Can I encourage you to set an example for your kids? If you want your kids to put forth lots of effort to stay united, maybe you should spend time this week putting forth some effort to unite with your sister or your brother. So parents, you want your kids united, and I think that's a godly desire. In Christ, we are all brothers and sisters, and God desperately wants us to get along. You know, and as a pastor, sometimes I see brothers and sisters in the church not getting along. And it hurts. I want so badly for you to get along and be close with each other. Psalm 133, that's what it's all about. And I'm going to read the entire chapter to you. All three verses. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. There in the place of unity between brothers, God commands a blessing. Oh, how important unity is. So kids, how can you build good relationships with your siblings, with your brothers and your sisters? Parents, how can you help your kids build strong, loving relationships that will last a lifetime? Number one, recognize that we are all sinners. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And one of the reasons you get so frustrated with your sister or your brother is because you forget that you're a sinner too. You forget that sometimes you are not the easiest person to get along with either. Sometimes you are not easy to like. Sinners sin. And as sinners, we are going to sin against our brothers and sisters. They are going to sin against us. So number two, give each other a lot of grace. God has given us grace, so we should give grace to our brother and our sister. God has forgiven our sins, so we should also forgive the sins that our brother commits against us. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted people don't get angry very easily. They don't fly off the handle. They don't make sharp, rude comments. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You see, it just keeps coming back to Jesus. He's the power. He's the strength. The gospel is the fuel that empowers us to love others. We forgive because we are forgiven. There is no place for holding grudges in the body of Christ. If you got any, they've got to go. There is no place for holding grudges in the body of Christ. You have been forgiven a mountain of sin, and your sin against God is so much more than the sin that your sibling has committed against you. So forgive them. The gospel is powerful medicine for healing relationships between siblings. Number three, recognize that the God-intended norm is for brothers and sisters to love each other very deeply. This is supposed to be the norm. Christians are supposed to love each other like family, like brothers and sisters. Your sibling relationships were given to you to help you to understand how important relationships are in the body of Christ. Romans 12:10, love one another with what kind of affection? Brotherly affection. Love your fellow Christians the way you already love your sister, the way you already love your brother. Paul says in Philippians 4:1, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. In the church, we call each other by these very affectionate terms. Brother, sister. Number four, don't think that you don't love each other because you fight sometimes. I'm going to repeat this for you kids. Don't think that you don't love each other because you fight sometimes. Brothers and sisters fight. So what? That's the reality. You're around each other a lot. And you know what? Husbands and wives fight too sometimes. But they still love each other. Carolyn and I are firstborns. Sometimes we have disagreements. But we deeply love each other. We are committed to each other. And even though we hurt each other's feelings sometimes, our love for each other is not going to change. Carolyn is very precious to me. The sibling relationship is a bit like a marriage relationship. It's a very close, intimate relationship. And you know what, kids? It is one of the best tests for how good your marriage is going to be. Your sibling relationship is one of the best tests for how good your marriage is going to be. Because these are the people in your life that you're closest to. And later on, your closest person to you is going to be your spouse. And if you're constantly fighting with the people that are closest to you now, guess what kind of a marriage you're going to have for the rest of your life? Start working on your sibling relationships. It is preparation for your marriage relationship. You are so close because you spend so much time together. You love each other so much. And because of that, you put those two together, time and love together, and sometimes you're going to have hurt feelings. But in those moments, when you are upset with your sister, when you're upset with your brother, number five, think about how much you'd miss your brother or sister if they were gone. If you sat down to dinner tonight and you looked at that chair where your sister normally sits, and it was empty, and she was gone, and you knew that she was never coming back. You could never play with her again. You could never play checkers. You could never tell her about that boy who was mean to you at school that day. You couldn't tell her the new joke that you learned. She's gone. And all the crazy things she did, all those things that got on your nerves, you wish you could have all of them back again. Oh, what you'd give for a few more minutes with your sister or your brother. Do not forget how much you love each other. And don't forget how much you'd miss your brother or your sister if they were gone. Number 6, realize that you are commanded to love your brother and sister. We are commanded to love our enemies. How much more our brothers and sisters? 1 John 4:7-8, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Say that part, last part together. Because God is love. And his children are supposed to be loving. God wants you to love your brother. He wants you to love your sister. That is part of what it means to be a Christian. God places a very high value on family, on being loyal to your family, and on loving your siblings. You remember Isaac had 2 sons, Jacob and Esau. They were brothers, and God wanted them to love each other. So much so that he also wanted their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren to love each other. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 7, God says to Israel, you shall not hate an Edomite. The Edomites are the descendants of Esau. You shall not hate an Edomite, for he is your brother. You're related, so you're supposed to treat each other well. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Someone that doesn't take care of family, physical, earthly family, is not a Christian, Paul says. Pretty strong language. He's worse than an unbeliever. God cares about family. He cares about physical, earthly, biological family, and you can't just write them off because they're not Christians. He wants family to look after each other. After Cain killed his brother, God said to Cain, where is your brother? Cain's famous reply, am I my brother's keeper? Do I need to be watching out for him? Do I need to take care of him? To which we want to scream, yes, because he's your brother. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Yes, you are your sister's keeper. You're supposed to look out for each other because that's what sisters do. That's what brothers do. You are family, and that is important to God. Number 7, look for ways to serve your sister or your brother. Serve them. So when you're going to play a game, let your brother go first. When you're going to sit at the table, give your sister the best seat at the table. Let her get ice cream before you get ice cream. Luke 6:31, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So how do you want your sister to treat you? Treat her that way. Let your brother play with your toy even when you want to play with it. Jesus is our Savior, but he's also our older brother. Scriptures call Jesus our older brother. And Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. So look for ways that you can serve your brother. Treat your sister like she's more important than you. And number 8, live at peace with each other. 2 words, stop fighting. Stop arguing. Stop trying to be first. Being particular is not a virtue. Stop being so particular. Well, I just like things a certain way. Stop it. James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Be slow to anger. Now you say, well, I don't get angry. I just get a little frustrated. Stop it. I don't get angry, but you know, sometimes things bug me. Sometimes things get under my skin. Stop it. Stop getting bugged so easily. But sometimes things get on my nerves. Stop it. We get upset so quickly, so easily, if everything does not go according to our plan. Well, it's just that I like things a certain way. Yeah, well, what happens if things just don't go a certain way? Well, then I get a little frustrated. Stop it! We have so many excuses for our anger, our unkind words, our harsh tones, so many excuses for giving someone else the cold shoulder or the silent treatment. Be gentle and kind and slow to anger. Romans 12:18, live at peace with everyone. Avoid arguments and conflict. Be a peacemaker when disagreements rise up in your family. You know, maybe one of your siblings comes to you, especially if you're grown up, and they want to talk dirt to you about another sibling. Don't fuel that fire. Don't feed that fire. Put a blanket on it. Put some sand on it. Try to calm them down and encourage them to work out things with each other. Love your siblings. Be a great brother. Be a great sister. I want to tell you a story. It's a story about women. It's a story about baseball. Kit wanted to play baseball, but the recruiter didn't want her. He wanted her big sister, Dottie, because he thought Dottie was better. But Dottie wouldn't play unless little sister could play too. It's a story about sisters and their relationship. Dottie and Kit play baseball on the same team. Later on, they played on opposing teams. They were both good, but older sister Dottie was a little better. And younger sister Kit always felt like she was in the shadow of her big sister who got all the praise. In the final game of the Women's World Series, the sisters went head-to-head against each other. In the bottom of the ninth, with two outs, Kit hit what looked like it was going to be an in-the-park home run, which would win the game. Dottie was playing catcher. Kit rounded third base, even though the base coach told her to stop. And she started heading home, running as fast as she could. The throw came in. Dottie, Kit, and the ball all met up at home plate in a flurry of dust. Big sister dropped the ball. And the umpire yelled, "Safe!" And Dottie played it off as an accident. But you know why she did it. Because she loved her sister. And she couldn't bear the pain of tagging her out, of raining on her parade. She couldn't bear to steal the spotlight one more time from her little sister. After that, Dottie dropped out of baseball so that all the attention and praise could go to her little sister. She took the fall for her sister. Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Our relationships with our brothers and sisters are worth some sacrifice. They are worth going to the cross for. They are worth sacrificial love. Is not that the kind of love that Jesus, our older brother, gives to us? Jesus said with his life, I will take the fall for you. I will go to the cross for you. I will sacrifice my life so that you, little sister, so that you, little brother, can live. Would you stand and let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, the gospel is powerful medicine. It is life-changing medicine. It is what gets us saved. It's what transforms our lives, and it is what empowers us every day of our lives. I can live because I know my Redeemer lives. I can give grace to those who have hurt me, those who have betrayed me, those who have been unkind to me, because I know my God, whom I've betrayed, who I've sinned against so terribly, has given his Son to die on the cross for me. I've given God hate and disobedience and anger, and he's given me love and mercy and forgiveness. It's embarrassing how much love I've received in light of how I have acted in my life. But God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for being that older brother, that amazing older brother who gave his life for me. Thank you for the hope, Lord, that we have in Christ. God, I pray for our kids. I pray that you'd help them with their relationships with their siblings. Lord, help them to realize that they are sinners too and give each other grace. Help them to realize how much they love each other and how much they'd miss each other if they were gone. Lord, give them the skills they need, the wisdom they need to be able to work through their squabbles and their differences, God. Lord, I pray the same for our church body. Lord, we are all sinners. We don't always get along. We're really messed up sometimes, Lord, and we need your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would just bind our hearts together. Give us a unity that the devil can't stick his foot into, Lord. And Lord, I pray that in that place of unity in our church, that you would command a blessing. That you would pour out your blessings on our church body, we pray. In Jesus' name.